It's 14 minutes after 5 o'clock downtown, your drive home on a Thursday. Rich Kimball here, and coming up next, well, one of our favorite guests on the show, although he apparently is playing hurt this afternoon, David Roth of Deadspin joining us. How are you feeling there, David?
I'm all right. I'd say hurt, not injured, if we're going to make that distinction. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I also did not suffer from what I had to watch you go through online. How's your jaw after making your way through what appeared to be about a box of Double Bubble?
Three pieces, which is, if you do the math, it's actually sextuple Double Bubble. It was terrible. I wasn't sore, but it was, you shouldn't have that much gum in your mouth. I can explain to the listeners what this means, or you could just let them believe that there's a video of me chewing too much gum online.
Well, both are true. All this because, frankly, I was upset. I was disappointed that you didn't remember guys from the Red Sox pennant-winning year of 86 like Rob Woodward and Steve Shag Crawford.
See, I was also upset, mostly because I had too much gum in my mouth. That's the rules of the game that we play in this video series. So every time I don't remember a guy, I gotta, pop whatever 18 ounces of gum into my mouth. I'm surprised I didn't remember Steve Crawford because he actually pitched. But that pack, in my defense, was just a bunch of random mustachioed guys. Like, you have no proof that Jackie Gutierrez is a real baseball player, and neither do I.
I was worried for you before I watched the video and read the summary and saw what the concept was. I was worried that the gum you had to put in your mouth would be the old gum that came in the pack of baseball cards.
So I've done that, too. I'm an idiot, as you know. and I think that, obviously I prove that every day. I'm proving it right now. But I did, in one of those packs, the gum came out, and it was contiguous, so it looked more or less okay. And I did briefly put it in my mouth, and it was, I guess I've never really chewed on drywall. I don't want to make that comparison, not knowing for sure that that's what it was like. But it broke apart. It was like the shatterproof glass that they put in the windshield. Obviously, no one needs to be told this, because everyone that listens to the show is significantly smarter than me, but don't put a 30-year-old gum in your mouth. It's not smart.
The other thing you did that may have endangered your health is you watched this bizarre pro-Trump ad that sprouted up in the middle of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was that one was really when watching sports kind of feels like work. I was not watching the game. It was the Minnesota Wild Winnipeg Jets game from a couple nights ago. It was on CNBC, and people started messaging me on Twitter asking if I'd seen the thing. There's no polite way to tell somebody that you weren't watching the Winnipeg Jets game, and that you're maybe judging them for watching it themselves. But I found the ad, and it was weird. It's a fun sort of story to write, because I was prepared to write a kind of like, look at this dumb thing blog. And the more I followed it, it's sort of the tip of an iceberg of just like sort of cheesy institutionalized grift that happens sort of out at the very edges of what, is allowed in campaign finance law with PACs and stuff. It just happened to be that their dumb ad ran during a hockey game normal people were watching instead of on CNBC at night when no one is watching.
And I loved, I loved your comments on Jim Cramer as well.
Oh, I was maybe a little hard on Jim Cramer. The image that I had of him was just him constantly acting like that and like romping around the studio, yelling and mashing buttons. And then they just turn the camera on for 30 minutes every day and capture it. But he's just going the rest of the time too. But I will say that I have there's no reason for me to have ever watched it. I'm not what you would call a serious investor in the stock market, which is to say that I'm not an investor in the stock market. But I kind of think he's good TV just in the same way that I really enjoyed Peter Finch's performance in Network.
Funny you said that, because as you were talking about him, all I kept thinking was, yeah, it would have fit right in 1976 and their vision of the future.
Yeah, I think the thing. I haven't rewatched Network in some years, but that was, the most apocalyptic satire of the media future imaginable, 40-odd years ago. And at this point, Cramer would be he'd be one of the more understated characters. Like, he'd slot in somewhere below Peter Finch and above Ned Beatty, I would say.
Right, he would be on right before Sybil the Soothsayer.
Yeah, right, which is, you know, I guess can't say that anybody built this world but us, but it is really, it's remarkable stuff, all the things.
So now what, as a viewer of fine television programming and commercials, what's more bizarre in its own way, the pro-Trump ad or the NRA ads that did just take anger to a whole new level?
Those are fascinating to me because they don't even have anything to do with guns really at this point. The ones, most of these, I think, function online. They're each exactly 60 seconds. And they may very well be on television too. I don't, you know what channels they would be on, but they're not on the ones that I'm watching. Like you don't see them much during the NBA playoffs, I'll say. But they're baffling to me because it's just some person. Some of them are Dana Loesch or whatever, are more recognizable than others, but some of them are just these kind of interchangeable dudes in t-shirts trembling with rage talking about the media and their lies, and it just doesn't seem like a winning thing to me. Like somebody that you wouldn't make eye contact with at like a Dunkin' Donuts just bawling you out for 60 seconds about guns, or not even about guns, like just about how, you know, they make the juice too strong these days and the traffic lights take too long or whatever. It's confusing to me.
I follow, we're talking with David Roth of Deadspin here on Downtown. I follow Sean Hannity on Twitter, you know, in the same way that I will glance at National Enquirer when I'm going through the checkout line. It's sort of that same thing. I never looked too closely at his profile until somebody drew my attention to it the other night. And his profile picture looks very different than the Sean Hannity that's on TV today. And I have this theory that as he covers up for more misdeeds and wrongdoing, that somehow he's internalizing all of that and it makes his head get bigger.
I think that there's something to that. I mean, we'd have to see the science, but I'd say the eye test, it certainly passes with flying colors. I was startled because I still remember there's like a, you know, an image of him that I you know, like the profile pic that he used for a really long time. And it was just like the picture that you'd see on the back of a thriller, like with raised print that you see at the airport or whatever, and it would be called like Sanction of Honor. Like he looked like one of those guys. And now the author, not the hero, although I think he probably imagines it that way. But yeah, like something happened to him. He does not look well. And, you know, I don't wish him bad health or anything like that, but I also feel like it has to be pretty unhealthy for a body to go on air and eat that much garbage for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I would think so. Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't watch, by the way. I don't want you to think less of me.
Oh, no. I mean, there's a limit to what anybody's duty is in terms of being an informed citizen.
Although I do turn occasionally. Like if something goes really, really bad for Trump, I will turn over just to see him doing a story about something nobody else is talking about.
Yeah, that is actually, I was going to say that that's been like the funniest and probably best reason to watch Fox News of late. I remember I forget which revelation it was because it's like every day there's two new ones, but there was one day, a very bad news day for Trump. I think it was the Michael Cohen arrest or raid.
Yeah, was that the day he was reporting on sex crazed pandas?
Yes, that was Tucker Carlson.
Tucker. That's right.
But I wonder, I remember seeing the images of it and just being like, there's no way that this is real. You know, Twitter is full of people making funny sort of fake screen grabs. And I went over there and he's just definitely laughing it up about like the sex lives of alpha pandas.
Well, I can't even imagine what led them to that, but it's fascinating to watch. Let's break away from that depressing stuff and talk about the NBA playoffs. So what do you think so far?
Good. I am enjoying it. You know, this is definitely much less depressing, but also, like, I really have been enjoying it. I would say that I'm borderline enjoying it too much in terms of the West Coast games being too interesting and it kind of messing with my actual life, like just going to bed an hour too late or, you know, suddenly realizing that it's 12:25 and you're, like, really invested in the Utah Jazz. Like, I didn't totally miss that sensation, but that said, like, I really enjoyed watching the Jazz last night. I've really enjoyed watching the games just on balance, and there's something really kind of cool about the fact that the Eastern Conference games have been as fun as the Western Conference games. Like, I don't remember the last time that was the case.
No, we're having a great time, too, watching these Celtics with their two best players done for the year. Somehow, I think they may end up sweeping this series with a Milwaukee team that other than the Greek Freak, appears to have no interest in being there.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that. I'm sort of surprised at how lame the Bucks have looked. Although, you remember they changed coaches this year, and it might just be that this guy never quite lost the interim tag or something like that. I can't believe how little they are getting out of the collection of talent that they have right now. But they're young yet and whatever. I had been fascinated to see how good, you know, the Celtics have been when it's the Terry Rozier show and stuff that, you know, was never really supposed to happen. I know that, you know, next year, if you presume a healthy Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, which I think you probably can, that they're going to be very, very good. But I bet that as a fan, just from what I remember of, you know, watching different teams and then also from talking to a lot of Warriors fans, that this is going to be a team that people are going to really very fondly remember because they're overachieving. And next year, you know, there will be no possibility of overachieving. They're a championship contender, you know, like straight up. But in this case, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be sweeping anybody in the playoffs with the lineup that they're throwing out there most nights. And yet here they are, like halfway home.
Anybody who's a basketball fan should also go read this piece that you recommended folks check out, and I did, by Dave McKenna, about the Washington Wizards.
Oh, I love that one. I edited that, and Dave McKenna is a guy that I've looked up to for many years, and I am excited to, you know, be working with him. He wrote, basically, it was about the Gilbert Arenas, Nick Young, JaVale McGee, Andre Blatch Wizards teams of the last decade, about 10, 11 years ago. And I remember those teams very fondly. One of my first published pieces was about the sort of Gilbert Arenas, you know, what seemed like a revolution at the time. Mostly it was just that he was the best player in the NBA that was also funny, which is not quite the same thing as changing the game forever. But man, what a bunch of knuckleheads. I mean, it was really, just in terms of reading Dave's piece, he's a very entertaining writer, but he just keeps sort of laying it out, like all the different times that Andre Blatch got in trouble for putting his name on like Lap Dance Tuesdays somewhere in Northwest DC. Like, you gotta, you know, at some point, all you can do is tip your cap. That's a lot of suspensions. He must really have liked Lap Dance Tuesdays.
We're talking with David Roth here on Downtown. We're riding the wave with this great start from the Red Sox, 15-2 under new manager Alex Cora, and another new manager taking care of business. How about those first place Mets?
Yeah, I'm so happy you asked. The Red Sox seem a lot more for real to me than the Mets did. That's an extremely good team. And seeing them, you know, whatever, no team is going to win 15 out of 17 games all year long, but they look great. With the Mets, I feel like I'm so wary of having too much faith in them in general. I mean, I knew that this was a team that could, if everything worked out right and everybody was healthy, that they could be quite good. But I just, you know, that's an if. I mean, that's like saying that if I abruptly gained a lot of weight and height, that I could contribute valuable minutes on the bench for a contending NBA team. Like, all kinds of things could happen, theoretically, but I didn't think that it would work. And I don't know how long it will, but I will say that watching a Mets game and expecting things to fall apart and then instead they score three more runs and it's not even a save situation anymore, that feeling is not accessible to me. It was real as recently as 2015, but I had completely blocked it out.
I'm following things the other night in sports, and this moment was developing, and I thought, I don't know what I will do, because if this comes to fruition, I may just stop watching sports, because it will never get better than it could get if Bartolo Colon had completed that perfect game.
Yeah, that was a special one for me. I love watching Bartolo like I love watching no one else. In part, I mean, we had some good times together when he was with the Mets and all, but there's no more terrifying and fascinating tightrope walk than watching him pitch, because those look, for all the world, like batting practice fastballs, and they really mostly are, you know, by major league standards, throwing 82. And yet, like, when it works, it looks like magic. I mean, it's just, like, it was against the Astros. It was against one of the very best teams in baseball, and he was carving them up without ever seeming, this is the magic of Bartolo, too, is that beyond not seeming to break a sweat, like, it looks like he's playing catch with a child. Like, he's constantly flipping the ball around to himself and kind of, like, wandering off, muttering, but not in an anxious way, like, in a, like, he just remembered something he needs to get at the grocery store on the way home. I loved watching it. It was great. I think he gets more starts. I think he's only really guaranteed a start on Saturday, and then technically his rotation spot's supposed to go back to Doug Fister.
Ah, I hope so. It's must-see TV right there. David Roth of Deadspin, always a treat for us to talk with you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again very soon.
Man, thanks for having me. Have a good one, Rich.